you guys. So our speaker this morning, I'm super excited for you to hear from her, Pastor Jackie. So she is a pastor at Vive Church, which is a church down in the Bay Area, Mountain View, in the heart of the Silicon Valley. Now, Vive, the church that she's a pastor at, it's not just one church, but it has many different locations, 11 different locations, not only in the United States, but all over the world. So it started in the Bay Area, but it has grown to 11 locations. There's one in San Jose, San Francisco, Oakland, Chicago, Honolulu, Italy, Germany, London, Rome, and they have a new campus starting in Dubai, which is really, really cool. So she is a part of a huge church planting network, pretty much. It's very fast growing. More specifically, Pastor Jackie, I went to college at USC. Do we have any Trojans in the house? Okay, sorry, Jackie, no one likes the Trojans. Okay, it was a tough football year for them, that's okay. And she graduated with a communications degree, which we know is one of the best degrees you could have. And she and her husband, Ben, have been married for 5 years, and they have an almost two-year-old, Noah. Yeah, he is pretty cute. Look at those shoes. Yeah, those are awesome. And then Jackie, she has been pastor for 6 years. She started as a youth pastor, and now she's a campus pastor. So I'm just super excited for you to hear from Pastor Jackie this morning. So why don't you all give her a hand as she comes on up and shares.
Check, check, one, two. Okay, how we doing, Simpson University? Yeah, I think you could do better than that. How we doing today? Okay. Awesome, awesome. Well, my name is Jackie, and I just want to start by saying I am so honored and grateful for this opportunity. I never take an opportunity on this platform for granted, and I just actually want to take a moment just to acknowledge the amazing leadership and faculty here. I don't know if you guys realize, but you are blessed. You are blessed with some men and women of God that faithfully pray. As soon as I stepped onto campus, I could tell that this is a campus that really will hold the power of prayer. And so, can you just give it up for all the amazing faculty, leadership teams, the teams that put chapel together? Come on, you can do better than that. It's such a special treat what you have here at Simpson. But like Natalie mentioned, my name is Jackie. I am from the Bay Area, Mountain View. We got someone from Mountain View? Let's go! Awesome! Okay, well, I'm a Bay Area native, born and raised in the Bay. And just like Matt shared, I went to LA for college and came right back and have been plugged into my home church Vive ever since. And, you know, Vive, we'll unpack this a little more in just a little bit in what I'm going to share, but being in the heart of Silicon Valley is very unique. So the campus that my husband and I lead, we're literally 5 minutes down the road from Google headquarters. We're 15 minutes away from Meta, Facebook. At one point in my life, I was a barista inside of Facebook, and I literally served coffee, and I could see Mark Zuckerberg from, like, a few feet away because he had this, like, glass box as an office. We're minutes away from NVIDIA, just all the major tech companies, you name it. And so we believe that God has a calling for the church to be innovative and pioneer and to set new standards for God. So we're passionate about that. But yeah, I love my church. If I can just share one thing at the very top is find a good local church and get plugged in. Being part of a local church is probably top three best decisions of my life. And maybe you have church hurt, that's okay. Just because you have a bad boyfriend, girlfriend doesn't mean you're not gonna find a good one. You know what I'm saying? And so I wanna encourage you, if you're on the journey, keep looking, keep persevering, and building the house of God, there truly is nothing like it. So let's throw up that family photo. I'm glad you all like that. But this is my family. I've been married for 5 years now. We just had our 5-year anniversary last week. And my little baby Noah, he's a cutie pie. He's like such a church kid. He's like running around, giving high fives to everyone. But we love what we get to do together as a family. Currently, Noah is into saying amen. Like, we say, Noah, time to pray, like this. And then he'll look at us until we're done, and then we'll say amen, because I'm Korean, and I'm teaching him both languages. And in Korean, you say amen, amen. And he's like, amen. And and it's the best thing ever. So that's a little bit about me. But yes, we're all about church planting at Vibe. We believe that God wants to accomplish the Great Commission, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, to teach them to obey what God has commanded. So this year, we're about to reach uncharted territory in Saigon, Vietnam, and Dubai. We're about to launch in West London as well. And I shared all of this because I think it's important to have some context as to where I come from. Because you've been in a season of being an identity and calling, and my church back home, we really believe that if you have these two foundational things on lock and together, there is nothing you can't accomplish. And so today, what I wanted to base our time on together is around a specific scripture in Romans 8. And this is actually, we've actually had a ton of more recent conversations as a leadership team at Vibe around identity. So it's super cool that I was invited to speak here on this. But let's just call our sermon today, Call to Overcome. Call to Overcome. So if you're taking notes, just jot that down. And why don't we just go ahead and pray one more time. God, we thank you that your word is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. And I just pray, Lord, that it would go out, go forth, and do the very thing it set out to do, which is to set us free in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Okay, so Romans 8, 37. Let's start here. I'm going to read from the ESV. It says this. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I want you to circle the phrase, more than conquerors. Because one thing that I want to propose and submit to you, Simpson University, is that you were created and called to overcome. That your identity and calling is actually wrapped up in those three words as a believer. Now, it's not just to overcome, but more than overcome. What do I mean by that? So I'm going to break down. So I'm still learning. I'm trying to study Greek right now. Any Greek students here? Okay, awesome, great. Now, I thought you pronounced this word hypernikeo, but it's actually hupernikao or something, okay? So that in Greek means to be more than a conqueror, to overwhelmingly conquer. Now, let me read the definition that us as a leadership team back home have been studying, but you want to try to jot this down. It says this, a victorious life of winning that exceeds normally expected conquering. Battles fought, battles won, victory so secure, it transcends the mere act of conquering. A conqueror defeats his enemy, but one who is more than subjugates his enemy, conquers and nullifies the purpose of his enemy. That's some good stuff right there. That's some good stuff. So we're gonna come back to that idea, but this word is so potent to understand and break down and have a revelation of. Because here's the thing, let's do a real quick activity here. Maybe you got your notepad or your phone, but let me ask you a couple questions, okay? If I were to ask you in 5 words or less, draft up for me an identity statement on you, what would you write? I'll give you like 10 seconds just to like think, jot it down. Now, if I were to ask you what other people would say about who you are, what would other people, what words would they describe to describe you? Go ahead and just jot some words down right now. Think of some words. Okay, now how many guys found that pretty easy? How many guys found it pretty hard? Okay, how many guys just are chilling? That's great. I'm chilled too. So I asked this because being in the tech center of the Bay Area, the Silicon Valley, I look to a lot of these different companies around me. I look at Google, I look at Apple, I look at all these things, and I like to kind of study them time to time again. And what I found is that some of the most successful companies have come up with a very catchy identity statement. They boil it down to a slogan, right? Okay, now go with me here. Nike, just do it. It's very motivational, action-focused, empowering. What's Apple's? Anyone know? Think different. Yeah, think different. So in those two words, that little statement right there, it appeals to the creatives, it appeals to the visionaries, it appeals to the innovators, that if you buy and use an Apple product, you will think different, right? That's what they're arguing. You're not just purchasing a nice minimal looking device, it's about the mindset that you're getting. Now McDonald's, ba-da-ba-ba-ba. There we go, we're alive, okay, yes. It's upbeat, it's focused on customer satisfaction. Nothing like a good old Mickey D's burger, right? Or Nuggies. Okay, L'Oreal. You guys see the commercials? It's like the hair wave. Because you're worth it, right? So cheesy, but it's empowering. It's personal. It's highlighting self-worth. I'm gonna keep going here. Disney. Happiest place on earth. Yeah, don't be shy. You got it, you got it. Well, many of us have been brainwashed by Disney growing up. Visited Disneyland or Disney World, and we don't remember how the Mickey headband indented behind our ears and causes pain and headache. We don't remember the long lines for 3 hours in the heat. We don't remember paying $20 for a little cup of Dole Whip. What we remember is the magical experience of the fireworks, the characters in the costumes, right? They're so genius, my goodness. Okay, Coca-Cola, open happiness. I like that one. It's so good. I don't know how they came up with that one, but open happiness, it connects the product, a bottle of Coke, a can of Coke, to positive emotions that every time you open a Coke bottle, you're gonna be happy, right? So all these amazing companies, they've nailed it down. They've nailed down their branding. They've nailed down their identity statement. But how many of us as believers can say the same? Shouldn't we, as children of the Most High, unlock our own God identity statement. Our own God identity statement. Have we spent as much time mulling over, chewing over, meditating, discussing what our core identity statement as a child of God should be? And I'm telling you right now, we may make it out this journey of finding our identity and calling to be very whimsical, very philosophical, but as a believer, it's actually way more strategic and straightforward than you might think. For the believer, the answer is already given. We complicate it with our own preferences and this idea of pursuing our own personal happiness. But if we look plainly at scripture and take it for all that it says and not just the parts of it, we find it. I'm telling you right now, if you know your God identity, your calling automatically becomes established. They cannot be separated. They are deeply intertwined. And many people may focus just on one and not the other, but it's important to know who you're called to be before you know what you're supposed to do. In an era driven by what we do and simply by what we accomplish, we allow this to filter our lens of how we view each other and the world around us. Like when you meet someone for the first time, I'm pretty sure one of the first questions you might ask is, oh, so what do you do? And what if instead it was like, hey, can you tell me more about who you are? What would it be to be identity first? You guys with me? Because if you find that sweet spot where identity and calling intertwine, you become unshakable and so steadfast in all you do and face. So for the believer to know who you are, you need to know whose you are. And I just want to take a second to go into the character of David, because he got his own identity statement as the man who was after God's own heart. That's pretty cool. If I could be known for something, I would like to be known for something like David. Now, David, how many of you guys are familiar with the story of David? Anyone watching House of David on Amazon right now? Okay, I need to get there. I'm hearing great things, but I need to start that myself. But David is a pretty key character in the Bible. You may know him as a shepherd boy that defeats the giant. And yes, that's exactly the story I want to take us into right now. As a youth, David is appointed out and anointed by the prophet Samuel to be Israel's next king. But it doesn't happen for many, many years to come. And so, you know, David is anointed and God sees his heart. Now, it's interesting because David wasn't the first pick. His father Jesse laid out all seven other brothers in front of the prophet saying, oh, look at these guys. These guys are going to be great. You should look and see and pick from one of them. And then Sam goes, you know what? No, I don't have any peace about it. This is not of God. I need one more. Do you have any more sons? And Jay's like, okay, fine. You know, we got one more. He's the youngest. He's out in the fields with the sheep. And they bring him in, and David is the one that Samuel was looking for, the one that God had chosen for that time. David is anointed by Samuel, and I love what it says in 1 Samuel 16. It says, the Lord told Samuel beforehand, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him, talking about the brother that he saw first. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And then the very next, the next scene in the Bible is David is coming face to face with Goliath. Goliath, he is 9'9". That's crazy. I can't even imagine. Like 6 foot already. Like, whoa, hey, how you doing up there, right? But David is facing a 9'9" giant who is challenging the Israelite army, challenging his living God. Now, I love what this guy named F.B. Meyer says. I'm going to read this out to us. Keenly sensitive to the defiance of the Philistine and grieved by the apathy of his people, David, on the other hand, felt that God was alive. He had lived alone with him in the solitude of the hills till God had become one of the greatest and most real facts of his young existence. And as the lad went to and fro among the armed warriors, he was sublimely conscious of the presence of the living God amid the clang of the camp. While the rest of the Israelite army lay in trepidation, David saw things from a heavenly perspective. And I'm convinced it's because David knew exactly who God made him to be, knowing who God is. So though he's the youngest and the most unequipped, David had to take a stand. So let me tell you this, David, in knowing his identity, was willing to face all odds, to face something that seemed impossible by mere plain sight. And then it says this, 1 Samuel 17, 50-51. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with that very sword. Now, David right here is displaying for us not just to be an overcomer, but more than an overcomer. That is quite the scene. He could have just laid it there. He already killed Goliath with a sling and stone, but that wasn't the end. It was like, but wait, there's more, right? He takes the sword of Goliath, draws it, and then beheads Goliath, and it's a complete defeat. That is a statement in and of itself. That, to me, speaks huperikao, hypernikao, like how I was reading and understanding, to be more than a conqueror, to be overwhelmingly a conqueror. So for the believer rooted in Christ, there is a deep level of victory that we always have access to, no matter the season you find yourself in. As you identify yourself as a son and daughter of God, as you encounter the love of God, there your calling begins to unfold, because as a child of God, you begin to act like a child of God, behave, live, walk, talk like a child of God. As you do that, you begin to realize you take kingdom influence, you gain kingdom territory, you start to work for the Lord, you start to build for the Lord, and there your calling is established. I'm here to tell you today that your calling is not just in your career. Yes, you can outwork your calling in your career, but if you just boil it down to a simple occupation that pays the bills, it's not that. It's so much more than that. You have to understand that your calling is so much more. And I personally find so much comfort and stability and strength in this realization. The pressure comes off, and when the pressure comes off, you begin to look at life and the things you do more as a privilege than just an obligatory task. And no matter what you do, you're living for an eternal purpose. So to wrap this up, I thought I would share a little bit more about my own story, my testimony. And my story is simply this. I was a young Korean-American girl in high school struggling to achieve everything that my classic tiger Asian parents were trying to put on me. I went to a very academically competitive school. All my friends around me, all honors, APs, all above a 4.0 GPA. It was intense. It was so intense that one day, one of my best friends in high school, during the middle of class, she fell over her seat and started to have a seizure because she was so stressed, because the pressure was overwhelming. And I remember in that moment, my world crumbled, because I was like, if this is what it amounts to, what is it all for? What is it all for to stay up late nights, to work on this project, to go through all these pressures? What is it all for? And I began to ask myself some key questions of like, does it really matter for me to be that amazing businesswoman, that be that amazing entrepreneur, to be something that my parents wanted of me, that other people wanted of me, to achieve the athletic accomplishments? What is it all for? And I just became so broken and ended up being paralyzed by depression. I was bedridden for months on end, where I barely graduated high school. And it was in that moment that I had many people around me praying, because I didn't grow up a Christian, but I encountered some Christian friends. They began to pray for me, to intercede on my behalf. And one day, when I was well enough to get out of bed, someone of my Christian friends suggested, hey, why don't you consider this missions opportunity. Go on an outreach, going to Mexico. Maybe you'll get a bigger perspective on life and realize it was kind of like, why don't you serve the underprivileged? And maybe you'll realize how privileged you are and break out of the depression, you know, that kind of mythology. And so I was like, you know what? Okay, I'll give it a shot. So here I am in Mexico in the blazing heat, building houses during the day, painting, throwing a vacation Bible study school for the little kids there. And then at night, there'd be all these amazing revival services where I had no idea what in the world was going on. And it was about the size of this room right here, the amount of people here. But it was in that moment that I had a God encounter. Because come day three, I was like, you know what, God? I don't know. I'm at the end of myself. I have nothing left to give. So if you're real, will you reveal yourself to me? And it was in that moment I had an encounter of healing. And in a moment, I believe and I know and I testify that the chains of depression that were on me broke off in an instant. Since then, I was set on fire. I got baptized in the beach waters, the warm waters of Ensenada. It was absolutely amazing. I came back just so on fire for Jesus. But what I'm here to tell you today is just because you have one encounter doesn't mean that life is all daisies and roses and unicorns and rainbows. Life actually got harder. Life got harder, and I faced battle after battle in different ways. But here's the thing, it was different because I could feel that I was no longer living for my own selfish motive and gain, but for something way bigger than myself. And in that, I understood that God had a plan for me, that no matter where I am, to overcome, to declare his word, to declare his victory, to walk out the identity that I am a daughter of the Most High King, similar to David. And here's the thing, my Goliath sword that I get to behead the giant of my depression is that every time I get to stand up somewhere and share about what God has done, that is like me beheading the giant of depression over and over and over again, and I see others be impacted by the story of God. And so I want to encourage you that maybe you're facing different battles, different giants, but God has designed for you in your DNA and the core of your being to actually overcome and live out victory, not defeat. Genesis 50:20 is also a verse that reminds us we're more than overcomers, because it says this. The context is Joseph speaking to his brothers. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Now, in this particular scripture, Joseph is talking back to the very brothers that sold him off to slavery to try to destroy him. But Joseph, walking with the Lord, knowing exactly who he was in the position of God in the life that he led, he is saying that you may have tried to use it to defeat me, but I flipped it on its head, and now that very moment of pain has become a platform for me to glorify God. So, I still find myself In Goliath moments, wanting to cower in intimidation and run away, be passive. But God in his kindness continues to put the fight and strength in me to live out this identity of being an overcomer. This identity forms my steps and keeps me moving forward despite what I might feel, despite what everyone around me is saying. And here's a little handle that I always use when I'm facing complex situations and leading the church. I remind myself, God has made me complex so I can handle complex situations. Here's the thing, Simpson University. God is looking to raise up his children to have grit, to have a fight, to take the right stance, to be less passive, to be more robust, less fragile, more aggressive for his kingdom, because he wants to build. He wants to build you, and as a result, his church. So Jesus didn't come just to lead you to green pastures and still waters and to be that nice pastoral shepherd or to be like a glorified therapist. He actually came to rescue you from the dominion of darkness and bring you into his kingdom of light. And God, I find, is actually more of a good coach in his leadership. You know, I know there's a lot of athletes here, but you know, when you're at the gym, you're like at the end of yourself. You're like, is this workout done yet? And you feel like you're about to collapse. Like, please, I can't do another rep. And then that good coach will come along and say, no, you got one more in you. And you're like, no, I don't. I really don't. You got one more in you. And you do it. And you did have it in you. And then the coach, a really good coach, will say, you have another one in you. And you're like, please, no, I really don't. I really don't. But you do have another one in you. And I find that God is more like that than just saying, oh, I'm retired. You know what? Just take a rest. Sit on the bench. You're good. So, to end, and if I could get Nat real quick for a time of prayer. God doesn't want you to just settle that child of God, but to raise you to be more than an overcomer. Your calling is in how you live your everyday life, in your identity. Why don't we close our eyes and pray? God, I thank you so much for the way that you are moving in our hearts right now, and I just pray that you would do only what you can do. That you would continue to speak clarity and truth into our heart of hearts. Thank you, Jesus. And right now, with all eyes closed, I just want to make a call. If you have yet to be in a relationship with Jesus and you want to do so right now, can you just give me a little wave so I can see you? No one looking around. I just want to know that there's anyone. Why don't we pray this out loud together? You can repeat after me. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. I choose now this day to follow you. I give you my life. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.